Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
2 years ago, the U.S. states of Washington and Colorado became the world's first legal marketplaces for recreational marijuana. In other words, people in those states can now legally use marijuana for pleasure, not just for medicine. A man VOA is calling Ryan is one of them. He is at a marijuana store in Denver.
Like this has a little bit more of a piney, some have citrusy smells.
No, we'll do a full ounce. Do a full ounce of that.
He shows a store worker a document that shows he is over 21 years old. Ryan is buying a small amount of marijuana. It will be placed in a container that is difficult for children to open. Almost everywhere else in the United States, Ryan could be arrested for buying marijuana. And workers at the store could be arrested for selling it to him.
In the past, I would have to go to the black market, but now I can freely go to any shop that I please, and I can really pick someone that I feel comfortable with, as opposed to going and calling a random number that I would have no idea where it's going.
One of the effects of making marijuana legal, Ryan says, is that buying it feels safer and more comfortable. Police, advocates, and researchers also want to know the effects of making recreational marijuana legal. VOA spoke to a leader of the Boulder County Sheriff's Group that fights illegal drugs. He says that if they follow the rules like any other business, marijuana stores do not cause problems. But those who grow marijuana illegally do. The police officer works undercover, so he did not want VOA to use his real name or voice. But he explained that his office receives many reports of people illegally smoking marijuana in public, driving after they have smoked, or selling the drug to people younger than 21. The officer also says criminals come to Colorado, rent several houses to grow marijuana, then transport the drug out of the state to earn a higher price. And he says many people call to complain about their neighbors growing or smoking so much pot that the smell disturbs them. The officer says these marijuana-related problems add to the problems police already deal with and stretch the resources of the department. Yet federal law enforcement agencies have found that marijuana-related arrests in Colorado have dropped by almost 50% since selling the drug became legal. And they say the overall crime rate in the state has not changed much. These reports show that Colorado's experience is a success, some advocates say. Jason Thomas is a spokesperson for a group called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He and his group want to make all drugs legal across the country. He says current federal laws punish nonviolent drug users too severely. Does it seem fair, he asks, that having or selling a drug like marijuana could result in being put in prison for years? Thomas suggests that some drugs should be sold at a store and others should be more regulated. For example, he says marijuana should be treated differently than cocaine. And similarly, He says marijuana-related crimes should be treated differently than cocaine-related ones. Researchers are also watching Colorado's experiment with legalizing marijuana. They want to know if more young people are using pot now that it is legal. A study by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, reported by the Washington Post newspaper, says no. The study found that before marijuana became legal in Colorado, 1 in 4 teenagers there reported using it within the last month. After the drug was legalized, 1 in 5 teenagers reported using it within the month. In other words, the rate did not change much. If anything, it went down. Researchers note the current rate is also slightly below the national average. However, experts say more adults, about 1 in 7, use marijuana in Colorado now that it is legal. And what about the money? Time magazine reports Colorado has collected an estimated $70 million in taxes on marijuana sales in the past 2 years. And there is some evidence that some people are traveling to the state and spending tourist dollars because they can legally buy marijuana there.
In the early years of American life, traveling religious workers, called preachers, helped to spread Protestant Christianity westward as the territory of the United States expanded. Many of these preachers traveled on horses to lead religious services in small towns and places where only a few people lived. Today's traveling preachers arrive in rural communities in cars. It is Sunday morning in Unionville, Tennessee. Dan Sweet is leading services at the tiny Zions Hill United Methodist Church. It is 150 years old. Sweet is one of a growing number of pastors who travel to small Methodist churches in rural areas of the United States. During the week, Sweet works at a large engineering company that designs and builds government projects. He says he has 2 full-time jobs.
I do this job 7 days a week. The other job is 5. The other job pays a whole lot better, and it pays the bills. This is more a labor of love, and it's a labor of what God has asked me to do.
Barbara Watterson has been attending religious services at Zions Hill Methodist Church since the 1960s. She is now one of just 20 remaining members.
I'm just a small church person. I love big churches, but I just love the fellowship of the small churches. Everybody's just a loving spiritual family, and everybody gets along.
When the religious service ends at Zion's Hill, Sweet drives 10 minutes to another church, Hickory Hill United Methodist Church. He leads another service there. Methodists have been worshiping at Hickory Hill since before the Civil War. Sweet is helping them keep the church alive. He says he is surprised by the role he is in.
Early on in my life, I did not attend regular worship services, and actually it wasn't until about maybe 10, 12 years ago that I started where God really impressed on me that it was time. He'd let me goof off long enough, and it was time now to start doing His will.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
The Pew Research Center says the number of Americans who attend church services regularly has been slowly decreasing for many years. The decline is especially sharp in the country's older traditional Protestant churches, like the Methodist churches Sweet visits each week. Mark Chaves is a sociologist at Duke University. He researches religious trends in the U.S. He says other Christian churches should pay attention to what is happening to attendance at Methodist churches. Chaves says other Christian groups, such as Southern Baptists, could see a similar decrease in attendance in the future. Sweet says that unless new members join his small churches, the churches may have to close. But he says that is not something he can't control.
I've only been facing it with them for about 2 years now. They've been facing it for quite a while, a longer while. And God always seems to bring in new people.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
The United Methodist Church is based in Nashville, Tennessee. It says the number of traveling preachers serving Methodist churches is growing. I'm Marcia James.
Asian Americans will make up more than 10% of California voters by the time America elects the next president. Asian Americans are the fastest-growing minority in the nation. Still, Asian community leaders in Los Angeles say the Democratic and Republican parties are each doing a poor job appealing to Asian voters. California State University, Los Angeles, carried out the study. It questioned more than 1,800 Asian American registered voters in Los Angeles. The study suggested that Asian Americans politically are moving toward the Democratic Party, if they are moving at all. The researchers said age and the country of origin are the biggest issues that divide Asian Americans. The study included people of Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Philippine ethnicity. It showed that those from the ages of 18 to 29, or millennials, think much differently than older Asians. Most of the millennials were born in America. They know English very well. They get their news from the English language media. Their main source of news comes from the Internet. The study shows that older Asian voters are mostly foreign-born and get their news from foreign language media. Community leaders say political parties seeking support must find Asian candidates for office. They say Asian American voters often support candidates with whom they share the same ethnicity, even if they do not share the same political party. Asian Americans across the board support someone from their own community to represent them, said business owner Charlie Wu. Wu is in charge of a community group called CAUSE. Asian Americans also differ on what issues are important to them. Younger Asians in the study expressed liberal opinions on social issues such as gay marriage. Kat Alvarado is a Philippine-American student at Cal State Los Angeles. She says immigration reform, sexual reproductive rights, and gun control are the issues most important to her. Alvarado says she is a political independent. Charlie Wu of CAUSE says that the study shows that only 1 in 3 Asian American voters have had contact with elected officials. "I think the parties have been making a mistake not paying attention," Wu said. "Many older immigrants need encouragement to vote," said David Ryu. He is the first Korean American elected to the Los Angeles City Council. Ryu said total voter turnout in his election last year was just 16%. For Asian Americans, Korean Americans, it was about 40%, he said. The leaders said outreach in politics should differ by age and community. Older Asian Americans are still the majority of active Asian voters. They listen to traditional broadcasts and read print media. Some of the recent Chinese and Korean immigrants follow foreign language media sources. Experts say religious organizations are another way to reach older Asian voters. Young voters are less religious and more involved with technology. They can be reached through English websites and social media. College student Hannah Shea spoke to VOA. She says that reaching Asian Americans like her can be difficult. She says this is because many young Asians are focused on education and career. That is likely to change. Experts on politics predict that young, liberal Asian voters will become more involved in civic activities. I'm Mario Ritter.
In Ghana, some people believe certain jobs are only for men. But some Ghanaian women are starting to do traditionally male work, such as carpentry or jobs that require physical strength. And they are proving that men are not the only ones who can be tough. Asanam Nayadur is one of those women. She is one of three female taxi drivers in Accra. She is also a wife, mother of two, and a student at the University of Ghana. Nayadur says she has gotten used to the strange looks she gets when she drives her taxi around town. She calls herself Miss Taxi. She says the loan company and the taxi union originally rejected her when she first began her business.
They weren't sure I would even be able to make up sales or have a good business to pay back their car just because, you know, I'm a woman. And so they were like concerned about whether I wouldn't be open to car hijacking and they will end up losing their assets in the long term.
Nayadur now has regular customers, many of them women. And she is finding creative ways to grow her business. For example, she books her clients via social media, email, or text message. And unlike most male taxi drivers, she charges set prices instead of haggling with her customers. Selina Ajile Anan also works in a male-dominated field. Anan, a single mother, works as an electrician at Teshi. She remembers the day she applied for a job. The company she was applying to took apart a fluorescent tube and asked her to fix it. They took Anan more seriously when they saw that she was able to fix the tube. Anan says that now salesmen have started sending clients to her. Like Nayadur, Anan has found that some people would rather work with a woman. Anan says that when customers see her instead of a male electrician, they are surprised and often say, "I have never seen a woman electrician before." All of the people Anan works with are men. Eric Ajiti Ottenkrang is one of her supervisors. He says there are limits to what Anan can do because she is a woman. Ottenkrang says that if the job is a little bit risky, he has the men handle it instead of Anan. He explains that some work is too heavy for a woman to do. Taxi driver Asanam Nayadur does not allow talk about women's limits slow her down. She says men are just used to being the only ones who work in certain jobs.
It all started with men. So I guess they have developed this sort of entitlement attitude.
But Nayadur says that way of thinking is just a habit. She says, in reality, there is no such thing as man's work. I'm Mernoush Karamian Ainsworth.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Fewer babies and very young children are dying today compared to 20 years ago. Over that period, the number of infant deaths has dropped sharply, from about 12 million to 6 million worldwide. Infant child mortality has been cut, thanks to billions of dollars in aid and the work of many countries. However, a group of experts say that is not enough. For children to grow and develop fully, they need more than a nutritious diet and access to medicine. That is the opinion of a team of social scientists and public health experts. They found that about 200 million children are failing to meet their developmental potential each year. What is lacking, the experts say, is social interaction with the children and involvement by the caretakers. The U.S. National Academy of Medicine set up the group of 32 academic experts. They provide strong evidence that just as a poor diet can harm children, violence and lack of care can damage a child's brain. And that, they say, leads to physical and social stunting, even when aid programs are available. Stunting is when a person fails to grow and develop normally. Neil Boothby is with the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University in New York. He likens social interaction to investing in young children. He adds that it's vital to ensuring international peace and security. Boothby says that providing good, positive social interactions is as big a part of development as providing food and water. And these positive social interactions must be consistent and not what he calls episodic. He calls the wiring in the brain circuitry, and he calls the structure of the brain brain architecture. Here is Boothby.
This becomes part of actually strengthening the circuitry in the brain. When the response isn't there, or it's episodically there, then those same circuitry, that same brain architecture is weakened. And so it's not just micronutrient, it is also social care.
Boothby says studies have shown that international aid programs alone are not enough to help children reach their full ability. The Columbia University researcher just returned from Uganda. In that country, he says, more than a third of the population suffers from stunting. Signs of stunting include smaller physical growth and lower than average scores on intelligence tests.
For example, I met with some parents on this last trip. Fathers were saying, I don't really engage with the child until she or he is 3 months old because they're too little. I mean, that's counter to what they should be doing, because holding, talking, you know, caressing, et cetera, is all part of brain health.
The paper, says Boothby, is a call for social interaction to be added to the list of health and nutrition assistance programs and concerns.
You know, we teach parents when they go to clinics about water and sanitation. We teach them about the kinds of foods children should eat. Why aren't we teaching them the things that make brains grow?
Boothby adds, it is time for international aid policies to catch up with scientific research. Aid policies, he says, must combine the neurobiology of caring with other forms of assistance. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.